The number one resolution for people last year was to save more money, but nearly half gave up by February. Don't let that be you. Download Rocket Money to reach your financial goals this year. Track your spending, cut waste, and automate savings in one simple app. Rocket Money shows you all your expenses and categorizes them so you know exactly where your money's going and where you're overspending. From there, the app cuts waste by canceling your unused subscriptions and lowering your bills. No customer service needed. With that money freed up, the app will automatically set some cash aside for your goals, whether it's an emergency fund, paying off debt, or saving for vacation. Rocket Money's got you covered. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. And on average, users can save up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Make saving money a priority this year. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
What on earth happens when you risk everything? Your job, your routine, your entire life to go look for love. Ursuline was living the American dream until one day she decided to walk away from it. She had nothing but a suitcase and a gut feeling, and she chose to leave everything behind to go and chase romance in Paris. Ooh la la. But let's be real. Love abroad isn't all fairy lights and croissants. And in today's episode, Ursuline takes us behind the Instagram-worthy moments to the real story. We talk about culture shocks, lonely nights, and learning to belong somewhere completely new. It's messy, it's magnetic, and it is oh so human. Today, you're going to hear the real truth. Welcome to Stephan T, where every week I'm going to introduce you to the people behind jaw-dropping, life-altering, true stories from all over the world. I'm Stephanie Jones, TV host, storyteller, and your partner in crime for the wildest podcast ride you've ever been on. Each episode, you'll hear shocking stories that'll make you realize we humans are capable of anything. Now, let's spill the tea.
Celine, it is such an excitement for me to meet you. I just saw your profile and I just thought, this girl is living her best life. I have to talk to her. So thank you so much for chatting with me, because I feel like I've got the real life Emily in Paris.
So kind. Thank you so much for having me. Really, truly asking me to do this is truly a pleasure.
Talk to me. Tell me, what is all of this about? Because you were living in LA, you've got your car, you've got your everyday life. And then one day, what? You just decide, hey, I'm off to go move to Paris. Like, what was going on?
I think truthfully, there were a lot of things that had happened sequentially. The first thing is, I was part of these mass layoffs that I welcomed. But it was a moment for me to go, how can I really truly take a wrangle of my life? And it's very important for anybody listening, like, if there is like something that's been eating inside of you, you really do need to listen to it and figure out what makes the most sense in that moment. My love life was always important to me, but I started to have, I had always been suffering from menstrual pain, but menstrual pain in a way that really has been debilitating. I was rushed to the hospital. And after I was rushed to the hospital, it was a 2 a.m. rush to the hospital. I didn't have anybody else to call. And on my surveillance camera, you can see these paramedics having to rush me on a stretcher. It was in this moment that I realized I don't even have a husband or a partner who can be with me in this moment. Like, I had always been taking my love life seriously, but this was it. I was like, I can't do life by myself anymore. And I have done everything, Stephanie. I'm dating everywhere, dating in LA. Nothing's been successful. I'm dating within my church, dating with friends who set me up, paying for matchmakers, and none of that is working. I had to make something different, and so it was leaving the country to search for love.
I love that you're so proactive in like listening to yourself, your needs, your wants and goals, and acting on it. I up and left my place too. I'm from England originally, right? And it wasn't necessarily for love, but it was to like live a better life. I wanted to go and have a different career. I wanted to experience another country. And a lot of people think you're absolutely bonkers, but sometimes you've got to just take a leap of faith and you know internally, like, this is what I want to do. And you only have one life. You've got to live it, right?
So true.
So I think a lot of people have these dreams and goals and ambitions, and it's sad how many people don't act on it.
Yeah, I will say though, Stephanie, I've never doubted why people don't act on it. I will put out there that I am a person who has always been very adventurous, and I am not risk averse. So I should probably emphasize, like, I'm not really somebody who's risk averse, just because I usually take bets on myself, but they're not bets that are like on the whims of like hopes and dreams. Like, usually I'm going off of things that I know I really can bank on, right? So I was already a content creator, so I knew at the minimum when I made this uncalculated risk, because I still didn't really have family here, I still didn't really have the language down. You know, I had savings, but my savings was not really where it needed to be in order to sustain for any emergencies. So the way that I was navigating through things, I was navigating from something that I do on a regular. I do take uncalculated risks, and it's probably not very good for my nervous system. But I do know why some people don't do it, because I have been in a lot of discomfort, and a lot of this journey has been a lot of discomfort. I haven't had a home. I've been displaced. I've not had like security. So I will say that I know why somebody wouldn't want to do it. But the thing is these moments are so temporary when it's discomforting. And I don't want to lean too much in the discomfort. It's not fun.
100%. I think all of that is so understandable, and I relate to it so much. I remember when I left my country and went to the USA, I had enough money and I could only stay in the States for 3 months.
Nothing.
Oh
my gosh.
And I think I was so desperate for change in my life. I just was like, I'm just going to go to LA. I'm just going to meet whoever I can meet. I'm just going to make it work no matter what, right? I've got to try. And I was like in my overdraft exponentially at this point. And it was like, I had this one paid job that was like a month long, right? Or I had the audition for what then became my job. Someone had to lend me the money for the flight. I had to like lend money for an Airbnb. I was calling up my brother, like, can you please lend me money so I can eat and get a taxi? But
oh,
you know what?
Gosh.
It paid off. It did pay off, but like, I get it. And what a lot of people don't know, when I did get the job at Daily Blast Live, because I was so busy like trying to manage my life back in England, getting things tied up there, the payments I'd committed to, everything else, being in my overdraft, coming backwards and forwards. I was like sleeping on a blow-up bed and going on TV every day, like with no furniture in my house, no car. I would be walking to and from the studio, like, because I had nothing. And so, yeah, that was my life for quite a while, you know?
I have chills because you just basically are telling back to me what my life is right now and what my life was for the last 6 months that I have been trying to figure out how to make this work. And I didn't know any of that going into this. I wasn't coming here for school. I wasn't coming here for an internship. I wasn't coming here with any kind of through line. It was my body was vibrating that I had to be in Paris. I knew it, and I didn't know that I would be displaced. That was the one thing I didn't realize in this, and that is a big factor in just how you can navigate and feel grounded. But even when I wasn't grounded, like if I needed to show up for something that I wanted to create, I really had to conjure up like the energy. Like, I know I don't have a home right now, but put on makeup, go on a date, you know, this is the reason why you're here. So I have chills as you're telling me the story, because I do think that it was a part that I didn't know about. But at the same time, if someone told me you're going to be displaced, you're not going to have a home for about an entire year, and you're going to have all of these extreme challenges, financial challenges, emotional challenges, I don't know that I would have gone through with this. I think I needed to just have gone into it head first, just knowing that something had to have come out of this better than what I was experiencing dating in Los Angeles. Because I love LA, but it wasn't giving me what I needed. I moved to LA when I turned 25, and that is like really the start of like my adult life. Anything that was really truly growing up as an adult, all LA, getting my first apartment, my dream jobs, everything LA, LA, LA.
So you're in the city of stars, yeah. literally, and you're looking for yeah. love. Our whole lives, we're like dating. We look at people. We think they're cute. At what point, obviously, going from I'm looking for someone to moving transatlantic for love are two very different things. Like you say, you've been trying matchmaking in the church. Like, it sounds as though it's been something that had been, like, bothering you for a while.
I'm a Libra, and anybody else who's a Libra just knows that we're obsessed with love. It's just, like, part of our DNA. It's in our blood. So I don't know that there's ever been a place and time where I've not had a focus on my love life, but where it was building more momentum, I was in a relationship with someone months before I had made this decision. And it wasn't a breakup that had any influence on this. It really was like, this is not a person who is compatible or right for me. And the issue dating in LA is you run into men who are not taking the dating and courtship part of life, of their own lives, seriously enough. So it wasn't any one specific moment, because I've always been taking my love life seriously. But I do think that having had enough relationships, trying to be set up, going through matchmakers, and just like being so unsuccessful with the options, okay? It's just the options not being very right. It was enough by my last boyfriend. I didn't want to give it another chance to try again.
You obviously end your relationship and you're like, right, I've had enough. I'm going to sell yeah. my belongings. I'm going to go chase a love and baguettes in Paris. And that's, like I say, it's a bold thing to do. But when you were packing everything up or selling yeah. everything, what's one thing you were like, I cannot leave this behind. This is crazy.
Well, I will say that when I was packing everything, it was very emotional. It was very emotional because I have bought my dream car. I didn't lease my dream car. I bought my dream car. And I think that my car, I had a Mercedes convertible, and it was something that I had put on my dream board. And that was very difficult to sell and give up. So I think that was the one big, big, big thing that I was like, should I bring it to Europe? And everyone's like, don't do it. You don't pay for the amount to get that over here. So, that was the one thing.
Oh, well, it makes sense. And like a car is such a, apart from your yeah. home, a car is a really huge purchase.
Do you know the meme where it has Jesus and the girl's in the front and Jesus has his hand out and she has a little bear in her hand and he has a huge bear behind him? That's what I was thinking when I got rid of it, because there are so many bigger things that can come out of this if I just gave and relinquished my car. And also too, like there were other things, I know I mentioned my car, but there are other things that, you know, I felt like were really part of my identity that really took a lot of work for me to obtain. And I gave them all up, and I am banking on the fact going to not only replace them, but it's going to be even bigger and better. Cool.
Yeah. I totally get it. Like, I was giving up everything I felt, but all these things that you feel are like unbearable to let go of, or like, you know, you can't do it. Honestly, I'm telling you, I promise you, life has worked out so much better, and I'm so glad I did it. Really.
I saw your pictures at your wedding, and that is literally what I'm like mentally. I'm like, this is going to be it. I'm going to have a wedding in the south of France.
Let me know. I know everybody. If you need any recommendations or anything, I got you.
Yeah. I do try to emphasize, like, sometimes it's not for every single person, because it could not be right for you to do, just unpredictable situations. So yeah, I'm praying that I can do this in stride and see where it all takes me.
Like you say, it isn't for everyone. It is a roll of the dice. It is a leap, a complete leap yeah. of faith. And I remember, obviously, found out I got the job. The job comes, I auditioned in LA. They told me the job's in Denver at the audition. My agent hadn't even told me that.
Wow.
Yeah. He was like, we're gonna get you to America, like, let's go. So anyway, I found out it was in Denver, Colorado, and I was like, I know I need this to change my life. Fast forward to the job starting, and I came, and I was in an Airbnb for like a few weeks because I needed to find somewhere to live. And I remember that first night or two in that Airbnb, and I'll be honest, it was not a snazzy one. It wasn't great. And I remember laying in that bed thinking, what have I done? Mm. Honestly, I was like, what have I done? And I remember I had my suitcase with like the few things I could bring and clothes and stuff that I got with me. And that was it. That was my life in that suitcase. And I remember thinking, what have I done? Oh. Yeah, I was like having a bad time. But was there any moment that you thought, am I insane? Like, what am I doing?
When I was in the process of those first 3 months, I mean, the apartment situation here in Paris, I mean, if people are not aware of it, it is a very, very real thing. It's not something that a few people complain about. It is a very real issue across the board for both French and expats who come here. Going into the why is like, it'll kind of take us on a segue. So I will just give you that high level. It's very difficult for everyone here. So I did get into an Airbnb, but it was very expensive. I had gotten so severely down to the bottom of my resources. So when you are low on resources, and I'm sure you know this, every move is so important. It counts. You can't mess up, because if you mess up, if you don't have it to cover for that mess up, you're stuck. It was honestly the moment where I was like, what am I doing? Like, am I even supposed to be here? I had like, you have to have a certain amount of savings. So how did I have over $20,000 in savings? And now I'm having to pay for this Airbnb, and I still can't figure out an apartment. And now I'm in, at this point, like, what am I doing? And so that was the moment for me, and that my story is going to unfold. But, you know, I really am still banking on myself. I have no idea. Like, I do really believe that I'm going to find my person here. And it's very important for me that I'm very intentional about this moment, but in that moment, I'm just like, how the heck can I possibly find my partner?
Let's do the 60-second savings challenge. Step one, download Rocket Money. Step two, link your accounts and see every subscription you're paying for. Tap one you don't use and cancel it. That's money back every month. Step three, create a financial goal. $50 every paycheck, or let the app automatically move small amounts of cash when you can afford it. In a week, you'll forget you set it up. In a month, you'll see real dollars piling up. In a year, you'll be shocked at how much money you've saved. Bonus challenge, upload an internet or phone bill and let Rocket Money try to lower it. You only pay if they find you savings. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. Make saving money the resolution you actually keep. Start the 60-second savings challenge at rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
When you first got to Paris, or when you first like started dating or looking mm-hmm. for a man, how did you even go about looking for a guy? What did
yeah.
you do?
Well, I was just on Bumble because it really truly was the best way for me to approach this. It allowed me the opportunity to date and really navigate what the environment was like, rather than just like going any one place like a cafe or a terrace and just like finding anybody, you know, like I really wanted to be very specific. And it did help me because I do believe in changing the age range in order to have a different experience. For me, I do date a little bit older than maybe the average person. And it's very intentional, just because I know kind of what I'm already getting into. I don't have to like get into certain situations that many people who are in lower socioeconomic you know, constraints may be exposed to. And it's not to say that they're in lower socioeconomic constraints as like a bad thing, but oftentimes when I am dating within a certain age group, I'm looking for certain things. And I'm looking for someone who, you know, just like where they live, what they say that they do, and then their age. So I felt like it gave me a lot more control when it came to intentionating my dating experience. I wasn't just going to come here and like sit out and like hope for the best. So I think in general, I was able to have a fun dating experience right off the bat because of using apps, and I would use it again. If I was more grounded and say I came here and I was a little bit more calculated with my decision and, you know, I had friends who were part of private clubs, I think that that would be the route as well. Like I would join private clubs. So yeah.
Why do you think a Parisian man over an American man?
He doesn't have to be French. I just know being here in Paris is the biggest metropolitan city in the world, And I want this to be my base. I want this to be where I call home. I can go to Greece. I can go to Spain. I can go to London and, you know, really make here the core place. And listen, this is like the center of everything that's really important for me, whether it's fashion, creativity, arts. I want to be able to grow as the type of woman that I want to become. Paris is the place for me to grow in that big way. And the man who's going to come into my life is going to come into my life in this era that I'm embodying. You know, the beauty, the old world charm. You know, I couldn't embody that in LA.
Being European, I get it. The history, the architecture, I feel like the passion of the people, you know. And I think particularly with French people in general, they either love it or they hate it. I mean, like they've got conviction. I didn't date when I was in LA, but I found a lot of the people very, like, well, transient and very transactional. Yeah. I felt that, like, everyone was more bothered about, you know, where can I get, what can I get? You know what I mean? It was like a whole different vibe. So I totally understand. From being in both places, I totally understand what you're saying. The fact that you're doing it for yourself already is beautiful. And when you find that special person, it's just going to be the icing on the cake, you know?
Yeah, and he could be he literally could be from anywhere. Someone the other day was saying, it could be another American expat. Why not? I just want to change my environment so I can get different results. So yes, absolutely.
So obviously we know the glamour of Paris. Everybody knows the glamour of Paris. Is there anything that you've lived, seen, you know, that you've been like, hey, you know what? That bit is not so chic.
A lot of the time, the people who are the influencers and they're only showing like a Palais Royal or they're only showing like Montmartre, like these beautiful places, that is not really how it is when you're walking through Paris. Like, it's gritty. And that's part of my journey here is I really do want to curate my experience. I really do want to be in neighborhoods where I really love the aesthetic. I'm a Libra, so we're all about the aesthetic and like things looking beautiful. But if I were to tell the person who's romanticized Paris in their minds, it's that, yes, it's beautiful, but it's beautiful in curated moments, in curated spaces, and in curated spots.
Have you had any like dry spells while you've been in France? Have you just been like saying yes to people that if it was in America, you wouldn't have said yes just to try it? Like, what's your, trajectory? What's your game plan?
It's been 6 months, 5 to 6 months total that I've been here. And in the first 3 months, I was taking on dates just so I could understand the norms. And I wanted to also see what was normal here for another person who was French. And these were French guys. Like, that's a dynamic that I needed to explore without someone telling me how to do it. The bigger highlights I felt were, even though I was making sure to date a certain age group, I did notice when it came to the norms that I prefer when it comes to taking a woman out on a date, I do not believe in splitting bills. I do not believe in like going for coffee dates. I am not at a point in my life where I'm just sort of figuring people out. The people I go out on dates with, we've done video chat, we've talked on the phone, we're like asking each other questions before we even meet in person. So the idea of like a coffee date is not intentional to me at all, especially when I've just highlighted what
moved across the world.
Thank you.
You're like, you've given up so much to
thank
be there,
you.
Right?
Thank you. I didn't even see. You're so great. You've put into perspective the veracity of this. So yeah, you know, I've moved my entire life. I'm not moving my entire life because I'm just like in a whimsical phrase. I'm not doing that so I can go and sit and have coffee. So I think that's kind of where I'm at, where I'm really wanting to be in those environments and just seeing how it plays out.
You're dating with intention. And with a solid purpose. You're dating for a long-term partner, not for a bit of fun. Like you say, you've literally moved your life transatlantic, left your home, your family, your friends for this. So I wholeheartedly understand when you say sitting outside a glorified French Starbucks isn't going to cut it.
I love that. I actually feel like I'm going to make a video about this specifically because I can't tell you how big of a deal this is. It's a very big cultural difference, like to the point that I had to shut down comments.
Prior to my now husband, I've dated obviously in the past, and it's the first relationship, whether or not it is, I mean, he is half French. I don't know if all Frenchmen are like this because he's the only Frenchman I've dated. But he does take that to another level, and he really believes it would not be a splitting of the bill. He would take that almost a bit offensively. Like, he takes pride in that, you know? He really does. And at the start, I had a bit of, I'll be honest, I had a bit of an issue with it because the previous relationship, everything was 50-50. I thought, you know, well, what does he want? But the thing is, once you've lived it and seen it, you feel more feminine. You can lean into your more feminine energy. I think it's because it was never an option to me before. The men I dated, it was never an option. It was not even a thing.
When you want someone who wants to provide, they are showing the characteristics of what they would be doing in the relationship. Like, at some point, I'm not going to be working. I am going to be pregnant. I am going to be having to recover after having had our children. Like, I want to see, how is this man going to really show up in a way where he's really caring about our life? It's not about paying for things. And I think that a lot of people put this emphasis on the financial part. Usually it's because of their own financial constraints and they're not thinking about the symbolism around it. There is a difference. Men and women are not equal, as many people want to think, but when it comes down to like socioeconomic disparities, we as women still have a huge disparity when it comes to how much men make and how much women make. So when we're thinking about so many different factors, socioeconomic disparities, biological disparities, there's just such differences between us that I don't think that when you're going out on a date with a man, that it's out of question to believe or expect that he wants to provide, just based on those two categories that I've brought up. There's a multitude of other reasons, but even those two alone are like, yeah, I want to be with somebody who gets it. I don't have to explain it to him, and it allows me to be my feminine, and he wants to take care and provide. That is a big thing here, Stephanie, like a very, very, very big thing here. None of the men that I have met have thought that I'm splitting the bill with them. And it is.
So it's not even been a conversation. They've just acted.
It's because of the fact that I am dating guys who are at a point in their lives where they get that. They're not having to like think through, am I going to have to split the bill with her? They want to provide. It's a different age group. It's a different, it's a different mentality and approach to courting. But I'm very specifically like choosing a lot of the professions of the guys that I've dated. They're either an entrepreneur or they're an EVP or they're a VP. They're usually in positions where they understand my entrepreneurial path, but also at the same time can truly provide. And so that has been a very, 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 very big part of why my dating experience hasn't been bad per se, and I can focus on our compatibility. And when it's not working out, it's not working out because we just genuinely are not compatible, and it has nothing to do with their money. And I'm never going to date somebody just because of the money. I want the compatibility to be there as well.
Before I was with my husband, I had dated around my age group, let's say. My husband, he is older. There is an age gap. Everything that you're saying, I can relate to. Because I'd never experienced it prior. Never. I realized that is how I want to be treated. And I also think there is absolutely nothing wrong with dating with purpose and intention and being clear about what you want and saying no to what doesn't align and adjust. In any other area of your life, That would be a very clear yes or no. You're going to take the better option for you. So why not be intentional?
I want to ask you this question. Would you say that as a married woman, it is almost like the expectation that you should be marrying and focusing on finding a man who wants to provide?
I swore my whole life on being a little girl, and I think this is why for me, career always came first as well. Never love, career. It was all about being independent, looking after myself, and ensuring that I was okay and not relying on anyone else. That was always my goal. I never was getting married. I swore to my family, my parents, I am never getting married. I was not interested.
Wow. Okay?
And I met my husband, and very quickly everything changed. And I realized in that moment, that's actually all I wanted. Mm-hmm. And it took meeting him and to be treated in the way that I'd never experienced to realize, oh my gosh, this was here all along. This is an option, but I've never, ever, ever been blessed enough to have this. And in that moment, I realized, oh my gosh, there's nothing I would actually want more. They say it's your better half for a reason, I suppose. He's brought that out of me and brought the more feminine side out of me. So I don't know if that answers your question or not, but I would say like—
It does.
I think now that I've experienced that kind of love and that kind of support and that kind of care and now I've experienced that kind of relationship, I would not want anything less for anyone.
I really do think for anyone who is listening and who has had the mindset that we're talking about and then hearing your, like, the end result. Like, I do think that it is huge that you are speaking exactly what you said, because whether you did say, yes, I do think that this is what any woman who I would recommend to should be seeking out, I do think that there is a secret sauce to this, and it's just being with a man who really wants to not only love, but also wants to provide. So I don't know. I'm going out for that. That's what I'm looking for anyway. That's how I'm intentionating. But you are the end result that's validating what it is that I'm doing and how I'm dating.
You're so sweet. You're so sweet. I'll be honest. I don't know what it was, how the stars aligned, what made it happen. I definitely was not looking. He was definitely not looking.
Yay.
We were both in very different places. You know, I just felt like the things I had aspired to do and be, I got it. It took a long time, but I got it, right? And then he came. So he was almost like the icing on the cake, if that makes sense. He was adding to me. He wasn't taking anything away.
I love that we're having this conversation, because I just feel like I am the beginning part of where you were, and now you're the end of where I'm trying to get to.
The fact that you have taken the risks, you've put yourself out there, that takes balls and it takes courage, and it is not for the faint of heart. Chasing your dreams is hard. It's not Disneyland, you know, it's hard. A dream isn't handed on a plate. It's work. But the thing is, you're doing it. And you know what? If you hadn't have gone to France and if you'd have stayed in LA, you would have always thought, what if?
That is true.
You know you've done everything for your dream. You know you have done it.
That is such a good point. I didn't even think about that. Thank you so much for saying that, because it's like, I need to hear it every single so often, because you're right. There is no plan B. This is literally it. It has to work out, because, you know, I'm banking on myself and my future and the future of my babies and my husband and all the things that are meant to come.
All right, let's talk about, you've been on the dates with obviously American men, and like, you tried it all, and you've been on dates with the French men. So we already know that the cost of covering the bill and splitting something is not something you've experienced with the French men. But what else is the differences you've noticed between the two cultures dating?
Truthfully, is the courtship and the intentionality of there being a relationship. It is a huge difference. There's no games. There's no like, oh, I'm dating like five or six other people. There is no like when you're sitting across from the other person, there is what I think other American women would use the word intensity. I don't know that I would use the word intensity, but it definitely feels very, very connected. You know, they're not looking around. And that's something I always found with American men, which I know it's not fair to put like this big broad sweeping brush from New York to Iowa to California. When you kind of look through just the ways in which American men are brought up, culturally, they are brought up to believe that they are the prize and that they are the they are the ones that are the epitome of a human. They do not try. One time, I'll never forget this interaction, because I remember having asked an Italian man months prior in the south of France, I'd asked him this question, and I was back in LA after, you know, I was repatriated, and I asked him, I said, what's your courtship style? And it's a very, to me, this is a very normal question, because ultimately you learn how it is that they want to start the relationship. And this guy, he was like, courtship, like literally question mark courtship, like what is that? I don't even understand what that is. And it was in this moment where I was like, this is the reason why I don't want to date here. I don't want to date here, because you know what the Italian man said? You know, first off, I want to make sure that you feel comfortable. You know, I'll pick a beautiful restaurant so that, you know, that has a beautiful view. You know, I want to make sure that where we eat, you know, you love the food. We're asking each other questions. You get to know me, I get to know you. And, I'll check up on you. I want to see how you felt after the date. This is a person who's intentional, who's thinking through what it means to be in a relationship. It's like, how do you truly court a woman? You know, do you think through how it is that you want to, you know, wine and dine her? Do you bring flowers? You know, when you can't answer that question, it just feels like it's just, you're just kind of talking to anything that's walking and breathing, you know? And so, yeah, that's been the biggest difference, the intentionality. And kind of knowing what it is you want.
One thing I've realized, again, as I've gotten older is, you know, if you can't plan a date, if you can't make the effort to have the simple question of, you know, what do you like to eat? Is there any particular area that might be more convenient for you? Or what time is best for you and where you work? Mm-hmm. Simple things. What happens when life actually demands things of you? When there is a baby, when there are bills to pay, when life gets tough? If you can't even do the simple little things that are meant to be the time when you're meant to be impressing, you're meant to be wooing, you know, what are you going to provide in the long term if you can't even organize that? It doesn't leave you with a lot of confidence. You don't like he was like, what's courtship? The fact that you have to ask that on a dating app is slightly concerning.
Yes, it was concerning, because the way that he was asking me questions, I was just like, what is your courtship? Do you have any kind of intention? Like, why are you dating? Like, do you even know what you're looking for? And, you know, another part of the differences is I feel like men here tend to have a really strong sense of self. They have a very strong sense of their history. They know their language. They know their culture. They will pull from that as a sense of who they are, and they feel a very strong sense of that. And it doesn't even matter who I'm talking to. It could be somebody who's British. It could be somebody who's Greek. These are Italian men I've gotten this from. I've gotten this from men who are French. There is a strong sense of self. Even my own, I'm Nigerian. Men who are Nigerian, it's a strong sense of self. We have food. We have culture. We have our religion. But when you're dating in the United States, you know, it really depends on who it is you're talking with, because unless they have this sort of like, which is a thing, when they have a lineage and they are from that city or they're from that specific state, they do tend to have a really strong sense of like, oh, my grandmother did this, or my a really strong pull to their own bloodline. But when you talk through things that can really ground a person, like their language, their food, the traditions, it just doesn't exist. And I oftentimes felt like I was always the more, like, because of the fact that I date outside of my race, I think that's also something I should emphasize, because even when I was dating within my race and when I date outside of my race, I always felt like I was the more interesting person because I am Nigerian. We do have our traditional foods. I am a first generation kid. I do have a different way of looking at life here in the United States. So I oftentimes felt like I couldn't have this cultural exchange with a lot of the American men. So yeah, it's been nice to just not have to think about, am I going to be with somebody who's interesting?
Because you've been dating American and obviously French, well,
yeah,
many different cultures, yeah. It sounds like. One thing that isn't the same, obviously there's the language barrier. How is your French? Did you go over there being fluent? I mean, are you just like Google translating everything?
So there have only been two dates where they full on spoke French, and they spoke enough English to get by on the date, but it was really difficult. I would really have to talk slow, and that also exposes how fast we talk, but they also talk fast too. You know, once they're really in it, they're really talking fast, and you're just like, but I had to really slow down. And Google Translate, I certainly have Google Translate out with everything. Everything I'm doing, I have Google Translate out. I'm in their territory. That's one thing with me. I always start off speaking the amount of French that I know to try and get them to understand, like, you know, désolé, je n'ai pas parlé français. You know, parlez-vous anglais? Do you speak even a little bit? And so my everyday, that's different. But in the one-on-one, usually they speak enough English for us to have kind of a connecting line. And I'm going to be honest with you, whoever I'm in a relationship with, it is going to be a necessity. Like, they do have to speak English. I want them to be multilingual because I do want our children to be multilingual. I am going to learn. It is like 1000% very important that I learn French. It's like non-negotiable for me. Like, do not think I'm just going to be with somebody who doesn't speak English at all. I need to be with somebody who's multilingual, for sure. I want them to teach me.
Language barriers aside, what's something cringy that a French guy baby has done in attempt to flirt? And even more embarrassingly, did it work?
Oh my gosh. So there have been a couple of men who are, and it was an Italian man who did this, and then it was also a French man who's done this, where they're really like touching my skin. And like, your skin, it's so beautiful. It's so elegant. It's jarring because like in the United States, that would be like harassment, okay? Like, it totally would be harassment. But because I'm here, I sort of have to like stop for a second and think through like, there's a difference in culture happening where like, I am not trying to be fetishized in any way, shape or form. Like, I know that I need to be with somebody who appreciates my mind and appreciates me. But things like that have come up more than a couple times, whether it was an Italian person or it was a French person. And usually they're a little bit older, not our generation. The guys who are like in our generation, they're not like touching me and going, oh, your skin. But it has been like a thing, you know, because that would never happen in the United States. Like, yeah. I would never have somebody doing that.
No. Do you think Europeans in general are more tactile? I will say that. More forward. And it's like, they when you meet someone, they're kissing on both cheeks instantly. It's like, you don't even know me. And you're like kissing me three times. And I do understand, like, if you're in America, oh my gosh, it would be seen very differently.
Oh yeah. Very tactile is a great word because you're already holding hands. Like, certain things that we think are like taboo in the United States, like men can be holding hands or like a lot of the touching. I think that would be the one thing. And then to your second question, like, did it work? It's just funny and flattering at the same time, but I'm also still have my discernment on, like, that's probably not my husband, but I'm just going to play along with this because it's funny.
Talking of how tactile everyone in Europe is versus the States. When we watch Emily in Paris, she's full on having like a hot and dramatic love affair. Have you experienced anything like that where you've been like,
yeah,
whoa!
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. I get it.
But he was British. Yeah. He was British though. Yeah. Oh my God. It was like,
thank you for holding it down for the United Kingdom.
He was British and it was definitely, gosh, it was so funny. I was just like, oh my God. Could I have found my husband this quickly? Like, it was so quick. Everything about it. The courtship was very well executed. Video chatting, you know, really wanting to ask me questions, getting to know me before we met up, planning the date before we met up, showing up to the date smelling nice, dressing nice, great hair, great shoes. Like, he just really was like, truly, like, he could write the book on courtship. And I just felt like like the chemistry was there, the physicality was there, you know, like even the things, you know, when you meet a matchmaker, they'll say, you know, touch her knee or touch her this, like we just very naturally were gravitating towards each other. And so by the first date, when we had kissed and we were making out and this, like, it was very, very, very French romantic. We were going to like the little ice cream shops that were open and like, you know, the restaurants that were open a little late and just sitting in like the window part and it's nighttime and we're just like, you know, leaning into each other. Like it was very romantic. So yeah, I definitely feel like when you have moments like that, you're like, okay, eventually I'm going to meet my guy. But that guy ended up being, you know, a narcissist. He was so full of himself. Like me being much more younger than him made his ego a little bit more inflated. So, you know, it's just like, it's part of this game of trying to figure out, no games being played, but game of like, okay, who's going to be the one that's like the right one? And I need to meet more men, not like be too picky where I'm just like, you know, cherry picking specific people. Obviously I want to be in curated spaces, going on more dates, because the more you meet, then the faster you meet your guy. So yeah.
Now that you have been in France for quite an amount of time, what's the most French thing about you? Are you walking around like just like thinking in French now? Yeah. Do you like, silently judge everyone's non-Parisian outfits? Like what's the most French thing?
Gosh, there's actually a lot of things too that I've noticed. You know, the French are very quiet and reserved people. And I'll never forget this. I was in a similar situation that you had mentioned where it was a shared space. You're sharing like the living room and you're sharing the kitchen space. And there were people who were in the middle area who were talking so loudly. And I was eating in the kitchen and I was sitting right next to a woman who I could tell was French. And I felt very French in this moment because I was exchanging looks with her and she was exchanging looks with me. And she goes, "Americans." And I was like, they never know. They never get it, right? You know? They were so loud. They were so loud. And I actually, yeah. I was like, listen, I'm American. I'm going to let them know. And in a very quiet way, I was like, listen, I think you may not understand, but the French are very quiet. They are not loud. And they immediately were like, okay. So in that moment, I realized like, I really have adopted a lot of things that I may not even know myself. Just sort of there's formality with everything, you know, even the way that you look or dress. Or even just kissing when you meet someone. I love that. I almost expect it now when I'm meeting someone, like, oh, bonjour, bonjour, you know, and kissing on the cheeks. I love that. I love those things. And I do not want to go back to the United States and not have to do that. So yeah, those are the two major things that I can think of.
I'm guessing if there was one Parisian habit that would follow you anywhere, no matter where you go.
It's the double kiss. I love it so much. I love that formality. It's like, it's so chic too when you do it.
Well, I think you are the real life Emily in Paris. I think you're so brave. I can't wait to see how your journey unfolds. And when you meet Mr. Right, you better believe I'm going to be screaming like a cheerleader from the sidelines. I got the Celine pom-poms ready to go for you.
Stephanie, I really appreciate you. You're the perfect person for my journey, exactly, because you get it, you know.
Ursuline's story is a reminder that sometimes the bravest thing you can do is bet on yourself and just go. Leave what you know behind. Bet on yourself. Follow something that doesn't always make sense on paper, but makes your heart race. Whether you're on the edge of a big decision or you're dreaming about a life that feels more you, let this be your sign. Bold is beautiful. And if you can dream it, you can make it happen. If you like the episode, go give it a like, share it with your besties, and I'll be back next week for more Steph and T.
Looking for excitement? Chumba Casino is here. Play anytime, play anywhere. Play on the train, play at the store, play at home, play when you're bored. Play today for your chance to win and get daily bonuses when you log in. So what are you waiting for? Don't delay. Chumba Casino is free to play.
Experience social gameplay like never before. Go to Chumba Casino right now to play hundreds of games, including online slots, bingo, Slingo, and more. Live the Chumba life at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.